Hello and welcome to ABW Radio Live. I am your host, Chris. I do apologise, we just had a little bit of a tech issue. For once, it wasn't me, and you might have noticed I'm using my old headset at the moment. So, yeah, cheers, Microsoft. Your stuff is shit. Anyway, I haven't muted my YouTube either. There we go. That's better. I have got John and I've got Neil returning this evening. Neil's Wi-Fi is a little bit rough, so we're hopeful he'll be all right. So, good evening to you both, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Good evening, Chris.
Well, there we go. There's a slight delay on your line, Neil. So just bear with us when we're coming to you. Hopefully, it'll come through as quickly as possible. Right. So, good evening to the chat room and the chat box and all that jazz. We're going to try and make Turkish delight out of a fudge finger tonight because you.
I like a fudge finger.
I'll bet you do. You'd think we would have loads to talk about. After a 4-0 victory, but even that, it was quite a dull game. So let's get some initial thoughts then. John, do you want to kick us off? What was your thoughts overall?
Yeah, it was, I'll be honest, pretty boring, but it was nice. We scored four goals. We didn't let one in. The injuries were annoying, but it was weird because I thought we were pretty bad, to be perfectly honest. I didn't think Hull were much better, but win was important, got the game out of the way. And now we're playing Saturday or Sunday. I'm completely lost with what day we're even playing now because of the, was it Sunday we're playing now, I think?
Yeah, Sunday now, yeah.
Yeah, right. So now we're playing Sunday. So yeah, next round of the FA Cup, got Watford. All good, I suppose.
Yeah.
Some good performances from a couple of players, some awful performances from one or two, and one of the awful performances, he somehow managed to get two goals and an assist. So,
I
I
don't know
don't
who
know.
you could mean. We'll come on to him in a mo. Neil, what was your thoughts and well, on the lineup as well? Were you surprised by any of the changes? It seemed to be pretty much what I kind of expected, I think.
I think we had to mention that. I think it was inevitable you're going to see people come in tonight. Adam Chambers was a good sign up. He was very exciting to watch and did a job. That sounds really wonderful, but the first half was pretty bad. I mean, Arsenal was usually get two goals in front of the ball to get all the nice touch. In the Jeff, we looked pretty good, and that's just the game in front of the 30. Maybe we could have scored another 4 goals.
Your robots are back once again. What a nightmare. The only other thing I can suggest maybe is shutting down and restarting. That's the only other thing I can suggest because we've got our good pal Mr. Hollick in the chat room and he's familiar. He says he has my old mic. Let me chat to John for a minute, Neil. Just try and shut down, restart, and let's see if that works. Sometimes it works. Maybe throw it. Right, John. Me and you just talk about stuff. What do you want to talk about? The weather, Saturday
That new
night.
Ghostbusters trailer looks fucking shit.
Oh, doesn't it just?
Call me sexist all you like. That film looks awful.
No,
Sorry.
I'm totally with you on that one. Right, let's try and talk through a few things then. We do apologise, and I can hear Danny now going fucking ah! You can see his little face now, can't you? Right, so pick up from where I was with Neil then. Line up. Any surprises?
No, I don't think so. I think we talked about it on the last show. It was pretty much what we all thought it'd be. There was question marks over, I think it was really only whether Mertesacker would start and Callum Chambers and whether there'd be like one rotation in the defence. Other than that, I thought it was pretty much the lineup I would have gone with. I can't think of anyone else who he could have played, to be honest. There wasn't really, I mean, you'd have to have started Sanchez, Ozil, or Ramsey, one of those three otherwise, because there's no one else in the squad. Welbeck maybe. But yeah, that was oh look, there's Neil popping up with his little, sorry, the pictures come up, show off. yeah, so I was quite happy with the lineup. it was nice to see El Neni again, get the full game, see how we do. I know it's against Hull and it's Championship opposition, but you know, it's another game in the team and getting customised with the players that are around him. I thought Iwobi did really well. Nice to see him play again. Whenever he plays this season, I've been really impressed with him. And Joel Campbell as well, who everyone knows I'm not a huge fan of, but I thought he's been treated harshly the last few games. And I thought he was probably the best player on the pitch tonight, which is hard for me to say.
He's out there. He's out there for this T-shirt. You know that. He wants you to wear this
T-shirt. Yeah, I know.
I've forgotten what the stipulation of that. Oh, it's if he gets a new contract, wasn't it? That's right. Yeah, that's right. Neil, let's try again. The only other thing we can try if this doesn't work is turning your video off. But let's try you with video for a second. Try and say something. Let's see what happens.
Is it going to be robot or is it not?
Ooh, so far so good. Carry on.
Wonderful. Where were you and John up to? I've missed you.
We just kind of covered the lineup. So by all means, if you want to sort of start delving into the performance, particularly first half, I mean, it was a bit. It struck me as like two teams that wanted to be anywhere but where they were.
Well, I can presume that our players didn't want to be in Hull on a cold, wet evening. But I thought there were some really good performances, actually. I thought Iwobi was really good, got some lovely touches. And I thought Kieran Gibbs looked good tonight. Nobody played appallingly bad apart from our dear friend and captain, Theo Walcott.
God bless him. God bless him. We will try and get to him in a second. John, what did you sort of make of how we began the game? And as I said to Neil there, that first half. I mean, it kind of struck me as like we almost rocked up thinking, well, we'll win. It's only a matter of time. And Hull, let's be honest, didn't really offer anything, to be perfectly frank. But was there ever any point when you thought we might be up the cropper here, because you know we just didn't seem to start, did we?
Well, yeah. I mean, I did a little bit because they had a goal that shouldn't have been disallowed, that was given offside, that wasn't. So I was a bit worried then. And we didn't look like scoring, to be honest. Like we had the ball and were sort of passing it okay, but I didn't see us really creating a chance. And obviously we got the first goal, and it was from was it Myler doing a sort of a no look outside of the boot pass across the edge of his own box, which is interesting. So, I was a little bit worried for a while. Even when we were one up, there was a bit of Hull pressure. But once it got to 2-0, I think Hull just sort of went, yeah, all right, then we'll just concentrate on the Championship. And Arsenal were sort of, yep, yeah, cool, game's done. We can kind of cruise through. I thought in midfield, the weird thing was I thought Elneny only had a really good game, but because he is certainly, of what I've seen of him, he's the more forward-thinking type of midfielder, or he was at least at Basel. I thought he was a little bit sort of held back in his play at times. Like, he was very good on the ball and calm on it, and he won it back lots of times, and all that was great. But I thought sometimes he could maybe push forward a little bit more with it, and it was restricting what chances we were creating. But just the pace of the game just seemed really slow and sluggish, and I know a few people said the pitch wasn't great, but, you know, Hull have got to play on that pitch as well, so it's the same for both teams. So, I just think the tempo of the game was just too slow in it. But we got luck, which, you know, when you're not on a great run of form, you need. And perfect for the player who really needed it, Giroud, because he really did need the goal. And lovely celebration, because I didn't know he'd had a little boy, so congratulations to Olivier.
No, I didn't know that either. And there's another damn fine, handsome specimen that will grow up, I'm sure, or will be growing up to look like his dad, which is quite frustrating, really. But yes, congratulations to him and Mrs. Giroud as well, who I'm sure is equally attractive. Anyway, moving on. Neil, what did you think with the, we'll touch on these as we go through, but the first kind of big incident was the injury to Per Mertesacker, who took a bit of a smack on the bonts and bled the old claret and then went off. Talk is that he should be okay. It sounds more like a precautionary thing because I think there was a swelling and he couldn't see, but was that sort of a worry when we started to, well, we'll come on to the other injuries, but he was out early and the defence had to be reshaped?
I think it was a worry just for the lack of available cover tonight more than anything. It didn't look too bad when the challenge happened, and he also didn't look too bad when he came off. I mean, it did look like a big swelling, I guess, to be fair, but I don't think that's anything that's going to keep him out, I would have thought, for the weekend. I mean, Terry Butcher wouldn't have gone off, would he?
No. Although we should say at this point, we have to be careful of concussions and all that now. It is a very, very serious issue. So.
He's clearly never watched Rocky, is he? He would have just got him. Mick would have cut the eye, would have been fine.
He would have been fine, yeah, right. John, so you mentioned...
I thought that the mixed back four, however many times we mixed it up and changed around, they did pretty well.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair, particularly because we haven't seen Nacho at centre-back for a while, have we?
No, but he really is a just all-round very good defender. I mean, he doesn't have the height, so, you know, he's not going to do very well up against the Peter Crouch, obviously, but defensive-wise, with the ball on the ground, you know, he's as good as, I can say, as anybody. And I thought Callum Chambers looks really assured all of a sudden, whether he was right back in the first half or centre-half in the second half. I just think he's beginning to look more of a player, and I suspect out of all the various positions we've seen him in, centre-half is probably the right role for him.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's certainly where I would have him moving forward. John, you mentioned a big, handsome Frenchman, Mr. Giroud, who was he definitely needed a goal, I think it's fair to say, and what a time to score it right before half-time. Element of luck, I think it's fair to say, but on a night where you're playing pretty averagely and there's not really anything being created, it's kind of a perfect way to go in front, isn't it?
Yeah, and it was nice because it was the sort of probably the first time in the game he'd actually decided to stay in the middle of the box, which is where he should be. Because before, up to that point, he'd been either pulling out to the right or to the left hand side and sort of swinging in crosses for Theo Walcott and Joel Campbell. And which I know they commentated on during the game. Robbie Savage mentioned it a couple of times, and I saw people talking about it on Twitter. And it's sometimes labelled at him as a criticism. I get the criticism, but if nothing's happening up front, you sometimes, as a striker, have to run the channels and take the ball out there. But the point is, you need someone from midfield there to come and collect it off you so you can get back in the box to receive the cross. So it was just, you know, good positioning and good awareness. I think Maguire was like their central of their three centre-backs. Wasn't alert to the ball coming across, didn't react to it. Giroud did. Good low finish through the keeper's legs, just what he needed. You know, you could see it gave him a real lift. And after that, some of his touches and sort of the layoffs and stuff that he was doing were much better than he'd done earlier in the game.
Agreed. And as you say, I mean, sometimes as a striker, you just need that one to go in. And even if it's searching on a plate, you've still got to put it away. And he did, which is a good thing, I would suggest. So, Neil, going in at the break, a goal in front. It was then a bit of a slog for the second half. And we should talk about, I actually kind of missed this, the Gabriel injury, not injury, he seemed to have a little bit of an issue and was forced off. Precautionary, do you think? Or because looking at it again, it seemed like a hammy, maybe.
It looks like a hammy, but things with players these days, if they're sensible, they'll say, I felt a twinge, or it's a bit tight, take me off now, and let's hope that's the case, because we're running short on centre-backs all of a sudden. It didn't look too terrible at the time. He walked off all right, so fingers crossed he's gonna be at, you know, even maybe all right for the weekend. Do we know how long Koscielny is going to be gone for?
I think he's scheduled to be back this weekend, isn't he?
The guy from BBC saying that he should definitely be back for the Barca game, if not before. So
okay.
He may be back this weekend. I'll get the quotes from Arsene. So
cool.
Bear with me.
I know after the game he said that Ramsey was the more serious of the three.
Yeah.
Make of that what you will. But yeah. Just while John's doing that, Neil, what did you make of Giroud's second goal? Because I thought that was a really, really good finish. If you look at it from the angles we get on replays, really, really good take.
Yeah. No, it was a great take with his standing foot as well, with his right foot. Volley and smashed it past the unbeatable keeper of the other week. I just, you know, wasn't the cleanest cross in the world from Theo, was it? But it was a fantastic finish, and he's now probably going to go on one of these runs now where he gets 7-7, 8-8. Unfortunately, that's what we get with him. He had gone, was it 10 without a goal before tonight?
11.
He's got two, so you can probably count him going on a decent run now. Oh, there you go. It's what he does. He's a patchy striker. He's either in form or he's not in form, and he's not really like Alexis, who you can put out there every week and make him play into form, because he's just not that type of player.
No, I think that's probably fair. And as you say, if he is going to hit a patch of form, now is a good time to have it. John, have you got those quotes there?
Yeah, just saying that Mertesacker was just a cut above the eye. It wasn't concussion. Ramsey's injury looks a bit more serious, so nothing on that. Gabriel looks all right. So I don't know what that means.
No.
I assume that probably means if Koscielny's back, he will play. If not, it's probably Callum Chambers and Mertesacker and Bellerin come back in, I'd guess. I don't know. I could be wrong. Gabriel could be fine, but he, like, during the game, he sat down himself, so he obviously felt something, which normally is a hamstring, but he walked off okay without, like, sort of holding the back of his leg or anything, so.
Yeah.
I'm no fitness person expert, you know.
No, none of us are, to be fair. So do you think, sticking with you then, that the Ramsey one is the more of... I mean, it's more of a worry in the extent that he's a player that, you know, we need as many fit players as we can. I'm going to be a bit naughty here. Is it the biggest loss, given that the fact we have got Joel Campbell to cover if we need it? I mean, yeah, I'm sort of trying to be devil's advocate. I'm not saying it's good that he's injured or anything stupid like that, but I'm just saying if there was ever a position where we could maybe deal with it, maybe that's the position we can deal with best if he's out for a couple of weeks, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, like, it wasn't working out for him in central midfield, and I think that's probably more of a case of not finding the right player to pair him with, or we just haven't got that in our squad. Maybe the shape's not quite right for him to play that position yet in our team. You saw how effective he is on the right from an attacking sense in the Spurs game. But it's disappointing for me, because what that means is it limits our options at centre mid. If we are chasing a game or anything like that, then we don't have someone like Ramsey to play in there, and it is just Elneny, Coquelin, and Flamini are our three choices, none of which in a forward sense are really going to thrill me or anyone watching. But yeah, it gives Joel Campbell a great chance in the team. I suspect the fact Walcott got two goals and assists probably means he'll end up playing instead. There's a couple of people said that Ramsey didn't warm up properly. I really don't believe that for a minute, to be perfectly honest. You don't have all that medical team and staff there for a reason. They know how to do these things. Also, the injury was a shoulder injury. So it's not like it's a thigh or a knee or, you know, like it was a shoulder injury. You don't get that from not warming up. It was obviously some sort of collision.
Is it shoulder or is it thigh?
It's a thigh. It's a thigh.
It's fine now. See, because everything I read said shoulder injury, unless Henry Winter's lying to me. Lying bastard, Henry Winter. You did an advert for the Times, and I think everything you say is true.
I'm sure that our good friend at Ask Blog News put that it's a thigh injury.
As he did say thigh.
If
it is thigh, either way, I still don't for a minute believe it's the... not warming up thing. I really do think that's nonsense.
I'll give you some quotes. This is from Ask Blog News, so shout out to them. BFG should be fine with what Wenger called a little concussion. I love that, a little concussion, like it's all right. After he clashed heads with Nick Powell, his swollen eye meant that he had to leave the field. In the second half, Gabriel had to come off with what the manager says looks all right. But when Ramsey replaced him, he did so cold, without much, if any, warm-up. He has suffered a thigh injury, something of a recurring issue for him, and with Wenger saying it was the most serious of the three, we'll have to wait and see how long he has to miss. If
that's the same injury he's had before, then, yeah, he's going to be out for quite a while.
Oh, we'll see him in 2020, if that's the same injury.
The warm-up thing, that really annoys me, because who else came on? The Jeff came on.
Yeah,
didn't have a warm-up, did he? He was fine.
I'm with you on that, but I I mean, I'm not medically qualified, and you know, and obviously we know Dom who is, and Dom says it you know, it's nothing to do with it. I don't know. I'm a little bit the other way. Just
they
purely
warm up before the game.
Yeah.
Anyway, all the players that are on the bench have a different warm up routine to the players that are starting.
Yeah.
In games, and they do warm up during. He was warming up during the first half. They keep themselves warm. They go for a little run on the jog and whatever.
Yeah.
And all right, he didn't get the 5 minute nod before he was going on, but he's still warm. And you know, there's a professional medical team who know much better than every single person on Twitter. Unless you are a professional and that's your job and that's what you do and you're on Twitter and you do that, fair enough.
No,
please correct me. Yeah.
The only thing I'm going to say to that is look at the debacle at Sheffield Wednesday this season.
Yeah, I'm not saying he wasn't warm. I mean, you know, there's warm and then there's warm, which is really, you know what I mean. What I'm getting at is I've seen it on a Sunday morning thousands of times. Granted, it's not the same level of athlete, but where you say to one of your subs, you turn, you go and get warmed up. And basically, what they do is they walk down the touchline on Sunday League. They have a fag, but that's obviously not the Premier League. And they basically do that thing where they put the hamstring up, they tweak the leg, and maybe they stretch a little bit. And they're like, yeah, I'm ready. And you see them racing to the pitch, and twang. There they go. And I just think to myself, like, I just wonder, whereas when you see a player, for example, a team are chasing a game and a manager says, right, go and get warmed up, and you see them sprinting up and down the touchline and then they come on, that to me constitutes warm. I mean, as I say, we're not experts, and even the Arsenal medical team have had their critics in the past, so it just seems a little bit fishy. And different players have different bodies, so I suppose some can race straight on. And do you think, I'll ask you this, Neil, do you think Aaron Ramsey would have even thought he would have come on tonight? Because I don't think, to me, he looked like a player who thought he'd be used when he came on.
I think Aaron, Alexis and Ozil were only there for the emergency of if we go 1-0 down. I don't think there was any point where they expected to be featuring tonight. And if he was warming up, was he really warming up? As in, I'm not going to get on, but I'm going to go up to keep a little bit warm because it's bloody freezing cold out here. As I said, I'm no expert like yourself. I just don't... why is it always our players that do this, is my question. That's my bugbear. I remember how angry we all were after the Sheffield Wednesday game, where Theo had to come on after a couple of minutes, and you could see he'd come straight out from his seat, put his shirt on, came out, take a corner, and he was injured. And you know, Aaron didn't even look like he hadn't even put a decent run on the pitch tonight at that point. You know what he's about. He's up and down, he's left, he's right, he's back, he's forwards. And he wasn't doing that because it almost looked like he wasn't prepped properly.
Mm.
That's just my opinion. As I said, no medical expert there. But he didn't look, dare I say, the normal Aaron Ramsey when he comes on, when he knows he's coming on.
Mm, that's what I thought. He looked a bit sort of, like he just wasn't prepped. And I know in the chat box there, Carlito El Gunnar has put, didn't Ramsey come on after Gabriel got injured? He didn't have time to warm up. And I think that's my issue. It's all right. I would almost rather that we sort of just sit deep and play with 10 men for a minute, 2 minutes, given that player a chance to warm up, than race a player on. I guess that's the issue. But yeah, I mean,
They didn't bring him on straight away. There was like a 5 minute gap of Gabriel walking off, and we played with 10 men for about 5 minutes before Ramsey came on.
Yeah, no excuse then, really, is there?
It was only a couple of minutes. He couldn't get his shirt on quick enough, Aaron. You know what he's like. He would have been annoyed to be on the bench because he just wants to play every minute of every game, whether it's the Capital One Cup or the Champions League. He just wants to play football. I mean, not like all of them, but he wants to be on that field.
Yeah. It's a bit of a strange
maybe,
one, isn't it?
Maybe it's more certain players are just more prone to those injuries than others. I don't know. It, like I said, you'd have to ask someone like Dom, who obviously knows what he's talking about.
Yeah,
I mean, have to tell you the difference between my arse and my elbow, to be perfectly honest. But
no,
I
don't
agree.
And as you say,
Dom, I agree with that.
Dom's more qualified than any of us, and I'm sure other people who are equally as qualified with Dom would say something different. So I suppose it's just all opinions, isn't it? But I just didn't like, I don't know, I just didn't like the idea of it. But hey-ho, never mind. John, what did you make of Theo Walcott's goals then? I mean, he sort of, I don't know what it is about Theo, and it might just be me, or it might just be him almost trying to prove a point, because he has got a lot of criticism on this show and many shows, and rightly so to some extent. But the way he sort of carried himself tonight was almost like a bit of arrogance to me. I don't know whether you noticed that as well. Two decent goals, but I mean, the performance again, the corners in the first half in particular were a thing of absolute beauty. Not
the I mean, like, first half he just looked awful when there was a lot of whinging and moaning from him, the sort of spitting on the floor in disgust at his own poor passing ability. And then he gets two goals, like the assist. I actually think the cross wasn't going to Giroud. I think he was going behind him, and he got a nice deflection for him to get that assist. But at least he put the ball in the box, you know, so that's the start. The first goal, I think that's more about, and hold your horses, I'm going to praise Joel Campbell. That's more about the ball from Joel Campbell, which was superb, by the way. Really, really good pass. Really good vision to set the goal up. And I'd expect Flamini to finish that. The fact that it's Walcott, great. You know, well done. That's your job, mate. You know, give yourself a big pat on the back for it. The second goal, really good. Just, like, completely mug the keeper off it as hard as you can. Low, near to post, great. Good finish. It's nice that he does that. But it's Hull, it's an FA Cup replay, and I suspect he'd probably go missing for another 16 games now. It's so annoying, because you can see what he can do, but just half the time he just walks around and just like, why are you even on the pitch? It really irritates me. He's been there 10 years, and I haven't seen enough improvement from him. And maybe that's because I bought into the hype too much, and the way he was bigged up so much when we got him and going to a World Cup when he was 17. So maybe I'm a little bit guilty of expecting too much from him. But when you see some of the things he can do, and the passing that he can do, and the finishing, and sometimes left foot as well from distance, and he can run past people and dribble past people. And then at other times you just see him get the ball and you think, right, you've got your fullback, just take him on. I'll just pass it back inside and just have a little trot up the wing. I don't really want the ball now. I don't understand it. Like, he just needs to, if he just played at the intensity that you know he can all the time, he'd be an absolute world beater. But he just doesn't do it, and it's so annoying.
He is frustrating, because I can't remember the last time I've seen him push the ball past a fullback and sprinted past him. Which was the old Theo Walcott was, you know, he didn't really have the should we say, the technical skills to maybe do step overs and get past someone, but he could push a ball past someone and he was gone and you wouldn't catch him. He looks like he's lost a yard and a half of pace, and he's now, dare I say, just simply relying on his finishing ability, which is probably a 7 out of 10 when it can be a 9 out of 10 sometimes when he doesn't have to think about it. But if he's going to go back to the old Theo Walcott, he needs to find that pace again, because he's sort of lost it. I mean, I don't know if you heard him talk afterwards, but he was even talking about how much he was enjoying playing on the wing again after all these months and months of talking about how much, you know, he wants to be a striker. So, I mean, maybe he doesn't know where he is anymore. That could be a problem as well.
Or maybe he's just kind of accepted the inevitable that unless he plays our position, he isn't going to get in the side. Maybe that's another thing, because Danny Welbeck, who's been out of football for a year, has pretty much shown him up for the past 2 weeks, you know, just with periods of play in games. So maybe that's another thing. But, you know, credit where credit's due. He got two goals, and who knows? I'm pretty sure both of you will agree. I don't think Theo is ever going to be a 20 goal a season striker, let alone a 30, and I don't think he's ever really going to be I don't like using that term, world class, but I don't think he's ever going to be the elite level footballer that we might have hoped. But, you know, if he gets a couple of goals, he puts in a bit of a performance, maybe makes a, maybe this is like Giroud, maybe this is the night where something will click and he will improve, because let's be honest, his form couldn't get a lot worse. So, you know, credit where credit's due, I suppose.
You do have to credit him for scoring two goals, of course you do, but I think the problem that people have when they watch the game with Theo is when you look at him, he doesn't look like he's trying. That's, you know, from a fan's point of view, I said this to you guys the other day, you don't expect to win every game, but what you want to see is 11 players who look like they want to win every game and they're trying their hardest, and he just doesn't look like he gives you that. He always looks like the player who's dare I say, slightly hiding, and the right wing's perfect for him because he can go and stand really close to the fullback. Oh, I can't really take the ball here. He's not the one that's going to pull off the fullback to try and find space. Even Iwobi was braver tonight in the first half. He was trying to do things and make things happen, where Theo was happy to hide behind the fullback or hide behind centre half and, you know, say, oh, look, I can't find space. I can't find space. I just think he needs to be a little bit braver.
I think that's a fair criticism. I do agree. And I suppose he is one of those players that maybe, as you say, goes hiding, goes missing, can't quite get into games and therefore sort of tries to protect himself rather than trying something. And then I suppose that on the flip side of that, if he was trying something all the time, we'd probably get his back for not having an end product. So I suppose you can't really win. But no, I mean, credit where credit's due. You know, he was pretty average but got two goals. If he can be average and get two goals a game, I think we'd all be pretty happy. But sadly, I don't think either of us expect that to happen. John, What do you think about the challenge ahead then? I mean, obviously, getting a result like this tonight is got to be a bonus, obviously. I mean, a win is a win. I was having a debate with somebody on Twitter who said that a victory at Hull shouldn't be celebrated. I mean, I find that a little bit hard to accept, because a win is a win. It doesn't matter who against. Watford at home now, which is, I believe, on Sunday. What sort of team would you like to see go into that game, knowing that realistically the league is looking difficult right now? Should we be putting all their eggs into the FA Cup basket now?
I personally would, because it's the only thing I can see us winning. And that sounds really negative, but it's just my opinion. Also, I like to win every game we play. It's just a weird thing. I like winning and I don't like losing games. I know we've got Barca coming up on the, is it Wednesday? I know there's some people who have said, oh, we should rotate a bit, but who are we going to rotate? I'm not sure who we're going to put in and out. Alexis hates not playing football, and I think you need to play him. And I think actually the more he plays up until, once you get past the I've played for 2 years solid bit, maybe he needs a little bit of a rest then. But you know, he likes to play sort of like for 6-7 months straight, and you do get the best out of him when he's got a run of games. But just, yeah, put out our best team. You know, go out and win the game early. You know, win it by 20 minutes, and then you can bring people off. You can bring off Alexis and Ozil and whatever, and then you can go, right, we've got Barca midweek. Probably, realistically, we're not going to go through. I've 5% chance or something. I very much doubt it. But you can't go to Barcelona and go, oh, we'll rotate and rest a few players because it would just throw the game, because we'll get hammered. And that doesn't do anything for the team, because what they need now is a run of wins. They need a run of wins. They need a run of performances. It's not just about winning. They need to play well. Although tonight's a big bonus, you know, the three sort of big players, Ramsey played for a bit, but Ozil wasn't on the pitch, Sanchez wasn't on the pitch, Welbeck wasn't there. You know, they've got to be in the team and get that buzz about it again. You've got to fill the whole squad with it, because that is the only way you're going to keep up any sort of, if we are still in, I know we're still in the title hunt as such, but you know, it's not just us. There's three other teams we've got to rely on cocking up and us winning all our games really to win it. So you've got to get that positivity back in the squad, and throwing a game against Watford isn't going to do that.
No, I agree with that. And Neil, would you, I'm kind of with John, I would be tempted to throw Alexis in, certainly. Meza, I'm a bit on the fence with, because I think you can sort of get away with, if that's the right phrase, get away with somebody else in the number 10 role. And he seems to like playing Iwobi in the FA Cup, which, you know, makes sense. So would you bring in the likes of Alexis? Obviously, we can't play Aaron Ramsey now. So how many changes would you be tempted to make for Sunday?
I want him to pick a team like us the cup final. I want to go for this hat trick of FA Cups. Let's go and do this. It is all about momentum. It always is with football. You win one game, you tend to build confidence. The team want to play another game. I was concerned during the game on the weekend, being 2-1 down, I could have seen us losing tonight. And I suspect that Alexis goal has really done something for that team. I think winning 4-0 tonight, it might not have been the greatest performance in the world, but scoring four goals is never a bad thing, and that's only going to do good things. I'd like them to go out, pulverise Watford, and they won't want to come back in a couple of weeks' time and play us in the league.
I think that's a good point. Like, lays down a marker, and also Watford are not, you know, they're going to look at this as an opportunity. They're not going to turn up with a weakened side, are they? They're going to come to our ground and think, well, you know, Arsenal haven't convinced anyone recently, so
they're going to think that maybe some of our defence is a bit different. Different goalkeeper, Troy Deeney, Igalo, they haven't scored for a while. They'll think if this is a good opportunity, yeah, they'll take it seriously. So yeah, I don't think you can throw it. And I know,
I actually think that...
yeah, go on, sorry, Neil.
I was just going to say, I think they'll come and attack us just for the exact point that you've made, John. The fact that that's going to be, well, we know what Kieran Gibbs, and then it could be Bellerin, could be Chambers, who knows. But I suspect they'll come and attack us, and they'll go very old school 4-4-2, which always seems to cause us problems when teams play 4-4-2. So I think it will be interesting, but I'd really like to go there. I mean, we went to their place and beat them 3-0. If they got play take a beating this week and they've got to come back in a couple of weeks' time, they won't fancy it. We're almost safe as well. Mm. You know, teams do have that habit of getting 38 points, 39 points, and literally scraping over the line, and it can take them 3 or 4 games to get over that marker. And I can see that happening with Watford, because their performances have slightly dipped over recent weeks. You know, Garlow, God, he says it now, is not putting the goals away like he was doing at the start of the season. He's probably going to score on the weekend now, I said that.
No, hat-trick coming up, yeah.
Absolutely. But, you know, you look at the chances he had against Manchester United and then against Leicester this weekend. Those were all ones that were flying in, you know, up until the start of January, really. So I'm hoping we're getting them at a good time, and I'm hoping, blimey, if you offered us Watford at home in a quarter final for the FA Cup, we would have bitten your hand off for it.
No, I completely agree. And thinking about it, the rest of the quarter final lineup, given who's gone out, I mean, it is kind of opening up a bit now. I mean, just to refresh people's memories, 6th round, Reading, Palace. You know, no offence, I don't fear either of those too much, without trying to be too disrespectful. Manchester United, West Ham, I would probably be more inclined to say I'd fear West Ham more than United, even given what we did at Old Trafford. And of course, if we get through, don't forget, it'll be at a neutral ground, so you lose the home advantage at Wembley. And then Everton, Chelsea, and again, I would love to see Everton get through that, because I think we could get at Everton. Chelsea, well, you know, we've said enough about Chelsea on this before. We all know what will happen if we get Chelsea. But there's a real opportunity for us to go, and I know some fans will say, oh, you know, we can't be aiming for the FA Cup, we should be aiming higher. And yeah, that's absolutely true, and I get that. But while you're in a competition, you should be trying to win it, and that's the same with the Champions League. You know, I've, like John said, it's probably a 5% chance of doing anything in Barcelona. I'm the most positive of all positive people, as you all know. Even I don't expect us to do much in the Nou Camp, but you just never know. You just never know. You know, it only takes a mad sending off, you know, early in the game on an early goal. I mean, you look at Roma tonight, John. You can comment on this if you like. I mean, they went to the Bernabeu. Okay, you know, could have conceded, but they should have been 3-0 up, and they were 2-0 down and out of that tie. So you never know, do you?
No, they should have scored plenty of goals. They should have scored in the first leg. Should have had a penalty in the first leg as well. But you know, Real Madrid and cheating.
So. Yeah, who'd have thought, eh? But you know, you take my point. I'm not saying for a second that I believe us to go out to Barcelona and you know, win 3-0. That's ridiculous. And I to be perfectly honest, I do expect them to comfortably beat us in the second leg as well, unfortunately. But you just never know. And what we should,
the biggest point from that game is, though, you can't go out there and get embarrassed, because that just kill the team.
Yeah, and you can't send out kids to go out there and get wallet, because that kills their confidence as well. So, yeah, I agree. I think we send full strength for both available games. And, you know, if we get more injuries, well, that's just bad luck. There's not a lot we can do about it. So, hey, that's life. So that's Sunday. That's the next game. And obviously that means we've got another league game to squidge in somewhere. I'm not quite sure where that West Brom game will go. And I'm sure Sky TV will be buggered, because they can't show an evening game on Saturday now. But it's an opportunity, and we need to push on. John, we'll quickly address the massive elephant in the room. I say elephant. It's more of a sort of a sheet type thing. some I know you personally don't really care about this, do you? It doesn't bother you, you know, and I'm not calling you out on this. I'm just, you know, different opinions for different people. The banner doesn't bother you, does it? I'll have a rant in a minute. I'm sure Neil will, but to you, it's nothing, is it?
Yeah, I couldn't give a monkeys, to be honest. If you got a banner, what do you do? Do I agree with it? Not the sentiment exactly. Well, I don't know, maybe a little bit. I think that probably Arsene is past his best now, and perhaps it is time for a change. Would I take a banner to a game? I don't know. If I was going every single week, I might do. If I did and people didn't like it, fair enough. It's, you know, fans, their opinions, do what you want. I'm not going to call out another fan for it. If other people have a problem with the banner, that is also fine, because that is their opinion. I don't have an issue with that either. The thing that makes me laugh the most is all the fans that don't like it, who say that people, the person who's got the banner or the people who've got the banner, are doing it just for attention, and then putting pictures of the banner on Twitter and on the internet and saying, look at this idiot doing it for attention. And I just think, you're giving him attention. I don't, do you not see the...
Yeah, so it's a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Don't, why even bother? I don't, who cares? He's got a banner, what to do? If anything, I think every time I've seen the banner come out, we've won, haven't we? Every game it's been out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think this is only the second time.
Is it only the second game? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can come out as much as it likes. To be perfectly honest, if it annoys people, it annoys people. If every time it comes out, we win like, you know, 3-4-0 or whatever, whoop-de-doo, bring it to every game. Put it, make it even bigger. You know, because I guarantee that the players tonight are going to be going, Giroud will be going home and, you know, with his new, he's got his baby boy and I've got two goals for you, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, Walcott will be writing his new TJ and the amazing two goals and an assist at Hull, AC book. You know, and the players will all be happy and Iwobi will be telling all his mates about, got another game for the Arsenal, getting really well into the first team. Arsenal will probably be a bit more relaxed than looking ahead to the game at the weekend. None of them care. They're not interested in the banner. They couldn't give a monkeys. I most things don't annoy me anyway. I know it's annoyed you, and I know it's annoyed a lot of other people, and some people found it really disrespectful, and I get that. Mm. And if you want that opinion, by all means. But, yeah, either way, if you want the banner, have the banner. If you don't want it, you don't want it.
Mm.
I really don't care. No, I don't take offence to anything, to be perfectly honest. So.
In fairness to you, John, something I love about you in a non-homosexual way, I should stress, not that there's anything wrong with that, but the thing I love about you is you're always horizontal and you're the most chilled man I know, and that's a good thing because I wish I could be more like you and it would save a lot of
I do get annoyed, like, if we play really badly. You see me on here get very angry, but that's I get angry about Arsenal. The stuff, you know, with fans and other people and their TV things and, you know, whatever they do, do what you like, go for it. You know, if you want to make a bit of money out of it, make a bit of money out of it. I don't care. I might laugh at you sometimes. I might not. What do you do?
Neil, give us your thoughts. I mean, the issue I have with these gentlemen, or pillocks, as I prefer to know them as, is that John's right. You know, every time somebody outs them or talks to them on Twitter, I mean, I just ban them. I just block them all because I've got nothing to say. And, you know, I'll hold my hands if I was guilty of a subtweet this afternoon because I was angry and I you know, naturally just chucked out a tweet because some of our fans seem to think that the manager should be a mute, that he has no right of reply, that he should just, you know, suck it up and accept the, you know, the criticism. And I'm sure you've been at games, I certainly have been at games, where people have said some, let's be perfectly honest, disgusting things at him, and that is completely out of order. Now, at the same time, we shouldn't be saying disgusting things to people that have the right to their opinion. But I'm of the view that a banner, to me, it's just embarrassing. You know, it's grown men who've taken the time to eat some crayons, and then weave pretty patterns, and I just think it makes the club look a bit too bob. Personally, I tweeted last week and said it. You know, it's not WWE. Don't hold up signs. It's very pantomime. And I also think that we are the same fans.
Just to interrupt, and I'll play devil's advocate for this bit, but we are also grown men who are on the internet commenting, talking about a football game that people want to hear about. So it's the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right to make that point, John. I just think that I don't know. I just think that it's a little bit embarrassing. I mean, Neil, what's your views? I mean, you can have a view that you don't like what the manager does, etc. But then the minute he tries to defend himself, some people jump on the internet and say, "Oh, how dare Wenger? He can't blame the fans." He's not blaming the fans. He's giving his opinion. What's wrong with that?
I think the banner quite simply is classless. And it's typical of other clubs that we would call classes. It's kind of the thing you expect to see, dare I say, at Chelsea. And it's not the thing you'd expect to see from Arsenal fans. Whether you are, and I hate these phrases, Wenger in or Wenger out, he's done an incredible job. And nobody will ever have this job for that long again at Arsenal. I doubt it. And he does need to be shown a lot more respect. I think we should be, if he does decide to step aside, I do think it should be his decision. I'm one of these people who probably thinks we could probably do with a change, but I'm never going to sit there and slag the man off, especially in an open forum like a football ground. The sad thing is, tomorrow, you know what those back pages are going to be filled with. It won't be to do with Giroud's goal, back on form, it won't be the pictures of Theo Walcott's goal, it will be those idiots holding a banner
and that's
wanting our manager out after a 4-0 win in the quarter, a 4-0 win in an FA Cup game, and that's what's going to be reported. Mm-hmm. I just think it's really sad.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. That's the issue I have, you know, and I know, you know, John's made a very good point there. To me, I do find it somewhat sad that people are so desperate to be famous, are so desperate to get themselves noticed. That's the bit I can't quite get my head around. And I know some people say, no, it's not, they're just making their point. I don't believe that. I just don't. I really don't believe it. And for one individual who I'm not going to bother naming because it's nothing to do with our show, but one individual attacking Ian Wright on social media. I mean, have you got a brain? I mean, you know, to call out one of our greatest ever players, whatever you think of Ian Wright's opinions, to call out Ian Wright and question his commitment to the club, or question his commitment to the love of the club. I mean, you know, I'm sorry, I don't understand. I really don't. If you have an opinion, that's up to you, but to call out Ian Wright, really? And that's not attention seeking.
I was just about to say, it can only be one thing, and that is attention seeking. Hmm. It's not supporting the club, is it?
No. No, I agree.
I've been at games when players have almost got booed off the pitch. I remember when Alex Song made his debut, he got booed off. You just don't do that to a player wearing your own shirt, however good or bad he is. You know, we've had some real stars over the years, whether it be the Igor Stepanovs or the Alberto Mendezes of the world. But if they're wearing the red and white, you support them, and you know what? If they didn't have a great game, then you discuss it with your mates afterwards. You don't boo them or openly show that, because it's not supporting your club. Mm. And I think this person, who we're not going to name tonight, made it quite clear that banner was coming out today.
Mm. Yep.
So it's the premeditated idea of, this is going to be my stage. We're live on TV. Mm. Let's do it now. Didn't wait to the Saturday or this weekend's home game with Watford, which isn't going to be on the TV. Exactly. No, he waited till there's a small section of away fans where they know that the camera's going to pan to. And if there's only 2,000 people in an away end, the camera's always going to find them just in case they score, or they're going to celebrate at the end. And you get out a banner that big, it's going to get seen. And what do you know? It got seen. We won 4-0.
Exactly.
It's so frustrating. It is so frustrating. And the players didn't even really bother going over to the fans tonight.
Do you know what? Can I pick up on that? Can I pick you up on that point? Because I was just going to make that very point, and you segued that perfectly. Some of our fans, and I don't know if it was the gentleman in question or not, but I have a feeling it might have been. Some of our fans said that it was embarrassing that at Old Trafford, the players couldn't, or so, or many of the players couldn't be bothered to come and applaud the away supporters. Not being funny, would you go and applaud pillocks like that? I mean, I was at the West Brom game when this abortion of a banner came out the first time. And the players, you could see, when they came over to applaud, because it was unfurled sort of after they went over to applaud, and you could see on the players' faces, they were looking as if to go, why? What have you done? And we won that game, by the way. We also won at West Brom that day. And you could see the players' faces just going, why would you do that? What's the point? And these players obviously have to trust this manager and trust the fan base. Would you go and applaud after that? John, what do you think of that? I mean, you can't have it both ways, is my point, I guess.
First thing I say is it's not all the away fans.
No, it's not. I agree.
It's a small group of fans. And again, like I said, if they want to put the banner up, I know you two don't like it. I know you think it's disrespectful when I get that. If they want to put the banner up, put the banner up. I really don't care. If I'm a footballer and I get offended by some fans saying that they don't think the manager's good enough, whether we've won the game or not, don't be a footballer, because you're going to get criticism all your life. Sorry, it's your job, get on with it. Same as a manager, if he doesn't like being criticised by the media, it's your job, mate. You're the lightning rod for the club. You take all the criticism that comes with the job of being a manager. Whether it's fair criticism or not, that's all debatable, but that comes with the job. You have to put up with it. The fact that he, in his most recent interview, did say that the fans weren't helping, there's an easier way for him to handle that question. What he could have said is just be completely fine and just say, I tell you what, no, the atmosphere at the moment isn't great. We're not playing very well. We're not doing well enough. And I understand the fans' frustration. If they were behind the team more, even when we were playing bad, then it might be a little bit easier for the players, because it's not a pleasant environment to play in. But the players have to do something to improve that, and I have to do something to improve that as a manager. That's the easy way around it. The press will go, oh, it's a nothing bollocks answer, blah, blah, blah. But just say that. He's been in the game long enough to know how to answer it, instead of just going, yeah, the fans aren't helping. I know that's not how he worked, but that's basically what he said. And don't get me wrong, it's not just the manager. The whole thing, there was, I think it was on Arseblog. I want to get the thing right. I'm sure you'll know, Chris. But they were talking about, it's not just that's pissed the fans off this year. It's the ticket price thing with Barcelona, and then going, oh, actually, we'll let you off this time, just because you're too stupid and you didn't understand the wording in the small print and whatever, you know, for the price increase, that they let them off. You know, that's insulting the fans. And there's just generally bad feeling. And it's not just the manager, but that, unfortunately, he's going to get all the criticism because he's the only one they can go after. That comes with a job. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do and that the banner should be there every game or whatever. They'd look a little bit stupid if they only brought the banner out when at the end of the game when we lost. I'll give them credit for at least that, you know, apparently it's going to be there every game or whatever. And I'm not saying it is the right thing and that everyone likes it, but I just think it's up to however you want to support the club. It's as much my club as it is this bloke's or anyone else's, and their opinions or their views on it, on what should and shouldn't go on there, are just as valid as mine. So I'm not going to insult another fan. If I don't agree with their opinion, then that's fine. But I'm not going to come out publicly, say on this forum, and say no, I don't agree with them, because it's not my place. That doesn't matter. You know, people want to know. I'm on here to give my opinion, and that's it. I'm not going to give my opinion on another fan's opinion. I don't see the point in it, personally. I know you brought it up, and it's a talking point, and I know people want to talk about it, but you know, the whole Ian Wright thing, I thought it was hilarious the way Wright handled it, to be honest. The fused ankle line was absolutely brilliant. That was class. So, like, even him, he's probably annoyed by what those fans have done, but he come back with a funny, witty remark and made the geezer look like a mug on Twitter in front of loads of people. Then there'll be loads of people who agree with that bloke, who think that Ian Wright's been disrespectful to him. And that's fine. That's your opinion. You're allowed it. That's the whole point of football. Can you imagine if everything in football was perfect? We'd have nothing to talk about. It'd be the most boring sport in the world. That's why people go on about, like, bring all the technology in, so get every single referee decision right. That'd be so dull. Imagine going to the pub afterwards. You'd have nothing to complain about. Half the fun is going, fucking linesman, what a useless twat he was. How did he not see that? That's half the fun of a game. That's the whole thing of football. You've grown up with all of that. The difference now is that because you've got social media and everything else, is that you can see it all coming out rather than just hearing it for an hour after the game, and then you don't see those people until the game next week. That is the only difference.
I do agree.
And also, all those people that don't want to hear what these people are saying, you don't have to.
No, you don't have to
follow them on Twitter. You don't have to see what they say. You can just ignore it. You can just go, don't really like that bloke. Yeah, I won't follow him. Won't follow him. You know, no, my timeline, honestly, I'm completely sexist. My timeline is brilliant. It's football, magic, which is a really sad card game for apparently adults. Yeah, cool. And boobs. Just boobs. Yeah. Boobs, yeah. Yeah. It's just like loads of porn, football, and some magic. That's it. Why would you follow something that you don't like? What is the point?
You can't control retweets, though, John, in fairness.
Well, don't follow the people who retweet. That's simple.
Yeah, but then
I put something up on my Twitter the other day. Said, anyone who retweets something about the Oscars, I promise you I will unfollow because I couldn't care less. A couple of people retweeted stuff about the Oscars. I went, no, I'm not following you anymore. And they're really interesting people. All the other stuff they had to say was nice. So I don't want to read that. I'm not interested.
I get your point, John, and I know you get splinters from sitting on the fence.
Get off your soapbox, in other words.
I think the one problem I have is, listen, everybody's entitled to their opinion, and I'm totally with you on that. And if you don't want to follow them on Twitter, don't read their stuff. That's absolutely fine. I just think it's just not a great look for our club when you have banners in the crowd. That's my problem. If people want to boo things and at the final whistle and walk out early, and that's fine. I just think there's something really distasteful about a banner.
Yeah, that's the issue I have. And as far as, you know, John's right. As far as the individuals go, I think the issue I have with the individuals is, it strikes me that a lot of individuals that are in that sort of ballpark tend to be, to use another wrestling analogy, I'm also sad, John, I'll join your crew of magic, I like wrestling. It's kind of like they're playing a heel or a face. They basically play up to whatever the agenda suits. I know people, I'll use our good man, the Reverend Raj, for example. Raj is a very straight-talking guy. He's got specific views on certain things, but go back and listen to the podcast of last week, cheap plug, and listen to what Raj says. And that, to me, is the way to conduct yourself. You know, he goes to games. He sees things go on. You know, he rightfully put somebody in their place when they spouted something, you know, just horrific at Arsene Wenger last week at the Swansea game. And, you know, he put himself up for that now, to be fair. I wouldn't fuck with Raj. But, you know, he made his point and he put it across. And I think that, to me, is the way that you make your point. And nobody's saying that just because you support a club you should agree with what everything says. But, you know, have a little bit of decorum in how you act. And I think the biggest issue I have with the banner and with some of the people involved is that, to me, it's just an act. It's all an act, and it's just a mechanism, essentially, to put themselves over, to use another wrestling terminology, is to sort of get them in the centre of people's attention. And, you know, fair play to them, because we're talking about them. So, you know, like John says, they've done their job. But me as an Arsenal fan, you know, I would love to know how many people in that crowd tonight had words afterwards, because I bet there's a lot. I bet a lot of people would have felt embarrassed by that. I'm embarrassed by it when I saw it. I was like, really? Seriously? I think that's the issue I have with it. Like you, Neil, I just think it makes our club look a mockery. And we are the same fans, let's not forget, not us personally, but a lot of our fans are the same fans that mocked Man United for flying banners over their stadium, that mock Liverpool for trying to hound out players, or, you know, that laugh at other clubs' sort of errors. We, you know, we've laughed at Chelsea.
I didn't laugh at the banner over Old Trafford. Well, I mean, I laughed at it. I thought it was funny, but I didn't think there was anything wrong with their fans doing it.
No,
it was brilliant.
And again,
a genius idea.
Again, for you, you know, you didn't, that's fair enough.
You wouldn't, mate.
My point is that a lot of Arsenal fans, you know, we sit as Arsenal fans, some of us are a little bit, you know, we're better than you, and we're not.
The problem, you're saying all the Arsenal fans as if one person doing something affects every single fan.
No, I agree with you. It's a small minority of people.
If someone said to me who's not a fan of Arsenal football club, saying, "Oh, that banner was a bit embarrassing, wasn't it?" I go, I don't know who the bloke is. So I ain't got a clue. And he goes, "Yeah, but it's Arsenal fans." I go, "Well, yeah, they are. So am I. It's got nothing to do with me. Just because they're fans of the club as well, it doesn't matter. Stop getting so annoyed by things."
I think you're giving
this person who you apparently really dislike and hate what he's done huge publicity on this platform you've talked about this like longer than anything else in the game, and I understand why, because the game was boring.
And people want to talk about it.
It was. That's the point. This is the problem. People want to talk about it, and it's what will be reported tomorrow in the papers.
What we've done exactly,
and it's what Wenger will get asked about on Friday at his press conference. Mm. That's the annoying thing. And I guess the thing that is frustrating is these people or characters, as they are appearing to be, because they all have certain traits. Some hold banners. Some come out shouting. Some will scream in the whatever they call themselves, TV camera, and they won't be able to bring their words together because they're so angry. But they are creating themselves to be, characters is the only way I can describe them. I call them morons, but other people call them people.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, as I say, you know, we've discussed it, and John, you're right. You know, parts of what you say are right. Most of what you say is wrong, because screw you, John. You're wrong. No, I'm joking. But you know,
I think we're great characters. I mean, I'm the attractive bearded one, pirate. Danny is the slightly curved one. You know.
I just think that. Yeah, I'm with you, Neil. I think the bigger picture that I'm trying to get across is that it makes the club look a little bit too bob, a little bit low rent. I do think it's a bit classless. I would be genuinely fascinated to hear from people who were at the game. You know, feel free to tweet us or the podcast. Indeed, we'll have a podcast on Thursday. So maybe, you know, if you were at the game and you want to have your view, tweet the guys at the FH podcast or at the FH. That's my own podcast at the AFC podcast. Oh Jesus! Fire the host. You can tweet us if you want, but no, at the AFC podcast and the guys will address it, because I would be interested to know what people's views are. But
Hang on. I know we're obviously going to jump onto questions, and we've gone on probably around about time, but Liam's got a great question here. What about if it was a banner against the owners?
I still think it's a bit silly, John, to be honest. And the bit I can't really get my head around is that anybody, in my opinion, this is just my personal opinion, not the opinion of Bergkamp Wonderland, anybody that thinks that by holding up a bed sheet with a few letters on it or by screaming abuse at the manager, anybody that thinks that that makes a damn bit of difference about whether the manager stays or goes, I think you need to reevaluate that point of view, because the manager, whether we like it or we don't like it, will go on his terms when he's ready in his way. That's it. It doesn't matter what anyone says, and I do understand some people that say you can change, you know, the ticket prices is a whole different, you know, a completely whole different subject, because to that degree, you know, some fans say that you can change clubs' opinions. I think you can change, like Everton have done a great thing. I don't think you'll ever change Arsenal's directors, because our directors are all about money, and I don't think they'll ever change their views. But as far as managership, you know, I just don't think it will change. I really don't, and I think Arsene has earned the right to have stayed at the club as long as he has. And whether you like what he's doing or you don't, you know, you have every right to that opinion. But he will go when he's ready to go, and as long as the board that we have is in place, that won't change. And if it does change, maybe he will change. But I think if anything, the abuse he gets only fires him up, only makes him think, I'm going to prove you wrong. So it's a double negative. It's a good question, but you know, I don't know of anybody who's put a banner up that has forced somebody out of a club. I mean, it happens, you know, John, it happens on the continent a lot, in Italy, and that they go to the training ground. Can you imagine that in Colney, like a load of fans with bloody pitchforks? It just, you know, it's not going to change anything. So it's difficult, but I don't think it will change. I don't think it will change.
Good question. Oh, your camera's gone wonky.
Yeah, I was going to say, I went all
also
wonky.
Also nice to see Mr. Hollick is clearly a fan of Father Ted. Sorry.
Ah, yes, yes.
I understand that.
And we're a fan of Mr. Hollick. Right, we'll take a couple of questions, guys. We've probably gone a bit over time, so you know, we'll fire a couple of questions and then we'll get out of here. Banners or no banners? I might make one for the next show I do.
That whole thing about banners not having an effect. I tell you what, my sister would be much very upset because when she was about 12 years old, I went to go see New Kids on the Block back in the day. She had a massive banner for what one was it? Donnie Wahlberg. He was in it, wasn't he? Yeah, I think that's the one she liked. Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Back in the 80s. Yeah.
Gotta love it, don't you? But now it's
and our first question: what is Chatterbait? Danny's watching Chatterbait.
Ask Danny, the filthy...
Ask Danny, yeah.
Filthy bloke, yeah. Poor old Danny.
Where's my fabulous beard? I shaved it off for... I can't remember what I shaved it off for. But I shaved it off. But anyway, it's coming back. It's slowly coming back.
Yeah, mine will never return. There's a question. Andrew Angeli, would you start Walcott versus Watford after his goals? Have we got any choice now?
Funny enough, I thought Giroud scoring, because I think Welbeck's been fantastic playing through the middle. And I thought Giroud scoring twice tonight probably meant that Welbs gets pushed wide right this weekend and Sanchez on the left. So I thought it probably means bad news for Joel again. But I don't know, and I'd probably let Welbeck and Giroud go as a two.
I think Walcott will stay in the team, particularly if Ramsey's injured. Like you say, I could see Walcott going wide right, as you say, and maybe Joel. But then I would keep Joel in personally. So it's a bit of a tough one, that isn't it? A bit of a tough one.
Campbell will get dropped.
I think he does get the raw deal, doesn't he?
I'm not his biggest fan, but yeah, I think the pecking order is, you know, Giroud is the number one striker. Welbeck is a wide option now coming back. But then I think it is Walcott, and I think even Ox, when he was fit, was above Joel Campbell as well, which I think is unfair, to be honest, because I think Joel Campbell is one of the few players at the moment that on form is probably the first name on the team sheet for me, really.
Yeah,
which I definitely wouldn't have said at the start of the season.
And also a word tonight, very briefly, for David Ospina, who did make a very good... I know you were a bit critical, John, because he's short and it made it look good, but it was a good reaction save, in fairness. And I also thought...
I don't think he had to shift that far. I just think it is because he's that short. It looks better.
I did. I think.
Oh, little Dave.
Little Dave. I did think El Nene was good tonight as well. You know, he strikes me as a sort of player who he just does the simple things, and we've needed that for a while, and I like that. You know, he was just quietly moving the ball from side to side. You know, took a book in probably, you know, for the right reasons in the right area of the pitch, but then learned from it and didn't jump in again. Coquelin, take note. I was quite impressed with him. I think he's played his way into the side for now.
I'd imagine he'll play at the weekend, what with Ramsey being out anyway.
Of course, Coquelin could come back in now because he's missed a game. Technically, he's had a rest tonight, so...
Yeah, well, I'd rather, if they were going to change anyone, it would be Flamini who would be dropped for me. I think you keep Elneny and play next to Coquelin.
100%. It's been so nice to see somebody doing the simple things in midfield.
Yeah.
Essentially, in this team, you don't need your central midfielder doing amazing, wonderful things. You've got four players ahead of them to go and do that. Get the ball to those four players ahead of you. My God, there's some talent in there. When you put Ozil and Alexis and whoever else, I mean, you're actually deciding who you can play this weekend, which is...
Nice.
A wonderful thing.
Very good shot wonderful. From El Nene as well.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. He likes it.
Good technique. Really good technique.
Likes a shot from distance.
I like the fact he wants the ball. He wants the ball. He'll take the ball and he'll pass it on. He'll spread it wide. He'll go and get it again and pass it on again. And he want. It's nice to see a player actually wanting the ball, taking responsibility, because I think too often we have players who don't want to take responsibility. And I think we all know now, I know you, Chris, knew this at the time, but how much we've missed Santi controlling the game. And it wasn't that Santi was going forward and scoring 30, 40 yarders. That's not what we missed. We missed someone to control the game, to get the ball in the right areas and give it to the right people. And that's what Santi did. He dictated the play. And I'm not saying Elneny dictated our play tonight, but you can see that he's more in that mould than, say, Aaron Ramsey, because Aaron wants to give the ball and he's gone. And Coquelin just wants to sit. And Elneny gives you that really nice balance of picking the ball off. I can ping it 30 yards, but I can also play it 5 yards and take it back off you because I'm that confident. Yeah. So I think he's really added to the team. And it was almost interesting that it took us to get to the point of having to go to Tottenham away and being in a dire situation before Wenger said, do you know what? I'm going to go back to what was really good this season, which was Aaron, you go out on the right. And we'll have somebody in the middle to play with Coquelin who can sit there and do the job I need them to do.
Yeah.
So maybe by hook or by crook, we've got back to the correct formula.
Yeah.
But it seems that we work better in that way because Santi just dictated the play. And people get caught up on saying he doesn't score any goals and he doesn't do this. Do you know what? He don't keep using the word, but he dictated the way that we played, the speed of the game, whether we break quickly, whether we pass the ball about, and it was all down to him.
Yeah, I agree with that. I, as I said at the time, I knew we'd miss Santi. I know a lot of people didn't see it the same way, but I really did. I just want to stick with you, Neil, because somebody asked about Jack Wilshere, about whether the club is potentially hiding how fit he is or how fit he isn't, and how soon he is to come back to the squad. What do you think about that? Do you think that that's fair, or can you see Jack sort of maybe just being a bit more sensible about his own body this time, and rather than taking advice, getting it, you know, his own way?
Jack is getting his body right when he says it's right, rather than when somebody's telling him it's right, which has been in the past where he's been rushed back too quickly. I noticed that Wenger said the other day that he's not running properly, etc. yet, which isn't the case. Jack is running. Jack is probably a week and a half, 2 weeks away from being ready to play. He's running really hard, and he's going to come back probably fitter than we've ever seen him, and we're probably going to see him come back when he's actually ready this time, rather than, as I say, when the club have called for him. Because I think that the real sense now is that as Ramsey could be gone tonight, we don't know yet. Obviously, the thing that we'd all like to see is, oh, no, it's all right, Jack's back. But I just don't think we're going to get that this time. It will be when he's ready, because there's a big summer for him. There could be a big end of season for him. And he doesn't want to come back a week too early. He doesn't want to come back a day too early. And only the players know their body when they're right. And I think sometimes... And I think even Wenger said it in the past, where he has pushed players back in too quickly. He did it with Alexis, and this time round, when Alexis came back, he was almost overly cautious because we were all gagging for him to be getting on the pitch, and we've seen him in training, and he wasn't even in the matchday squads. But maybe we're learning.
And of course, what he also needs more than anything else is a bit of luck, because you know there's this mythical. This mythical idea that he's injury prone, as everyone says, and he's not injury prone. He's just bloody unlucky. He's had some seriously bad luck with some injuries, and I think we have to be a bit sensible about that. Final question, John. I'm going to give you the honour from Mr. Hullock. Iwobi for Rambo or Iwobi for Elneny? Iwobi for Rambo or Elneny. So what would you do? I'm guessing Mr. Hullock means for Sunday.
It's tough. I really like Iwobi. I've been really impressed whenever he's played. So I'd like to see him play, but the fact that we've now got to squeeze in another league game, which we haven't got a date of yet, and we've got Barca midweek, I think I'd maybe start Ozil. And like I said, try and go out and get the game won, you know, like we did early against Man United earlier in the season, you know, go and put the pressure on and bring Iwobi on and then let him have, you know, half a game, 40 minutes or whatever. Just because I just think it's good to get some running, like, you know, a few kilometres in the players' legs before the Barca game. The team should be good enough even without Ozil to beat Watford, really. But I think I just err on the side of caution, just get the game done. I don't want to... I assume it's still at replay stage, is it, FA Cup?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't want another game. Just get Ozil out, get the goals, get him early, bring Iwobi on. Maybe Jeff comes on or Chris Willock or, one of the other youngsters gets on as well. Just get the game won. So, yeah, I'd go out the strongest. But that's not a knock on Iwobi at all. I think he's been really, really good this season. Really impressed. I'm not sure what will happen with him next year. I kind of want to see him go out on loan so he gets sort of regular game time.
Same.
Plays every week, and I think he's good enough to play at a Premier League club. So maybe one of the promoted sides, or someone knocking sort of lower half of the table and playing every week for them. I think that'd be good for him.
Depends who we bring in, of course, or nobody. Depends like what sort of caliber player, if any, we bring in. Because if you've got the choice of keeping Iwobi at the club, or as you say, sending him out on loan because you've brought in a better or more ready replacement, then you've got to play that player. So,
well, you would hope that Ramsey and Jack are all fit through the summer and stuff and raring to go into next season.
That's a good one.
I know, and that's a long way to
I'm sorry, I jest, but yeah.
No, I'd like to see him just so he can play every week because he's a really exciting player. He plays with his head up. He always wants to take the ball. He really fires the ball into people, which I like the fact that he fires the ball in because he can control it. Some of the first touches he took tonight, the interplay between him and Joel Campbell was really, really good tonight. I thought the little 1-2s they were pulling off was really impressive. And were it not for the fact that Hull decided to play with half their team on the 6-yard box, he might have got himself a goal.
Absolutely. I think Steve Bruce will be fairly pleased with how the results went in the Championship more than going out of the FA Cup tonight. So
yeah,
good luck to them, and fair play, their fans were pretty decent, as indeed were ours. Big shout out to the majority of our away fans tonight, who I thought were a credit to the club. Others will move on. Yeah, so that's pretty much it from us, I think. There's not much else to say. We've probably gone a bit long tonight, so apologies. Amazed we got as much out of it as we did, but we've addressed the topic everyone was desperate to hear us talk about. So
# Bannergate.
Yeah, absolutely. But thank you for your straight views, John. I appreciate it, and indeed Neil for offering the counterbalance. And I just sit.
I wonder if there's some people that are so young that they don't know where the suffix gate comes from.
More than likely.
More than likely. Gate people, if you don't know.
More than likely.
Other than that, I've probably just offended everyone and just called them ignorant. So there you go, I'm an arsehole as well now.
No, I think you've stated your case very well, and for everybody that will agree with one, they'll disagree with another. So I think you've been very balanced, and it's everyone has the right to their opinion. I just like to think that most of us here at ABW conduct ourselves in a slightly more adult manner. That's my personal opinion, and I shall stick with it. Anywho, that's it for us for tonight then. So thank you very much to everyone in the chat box as usual. We appreciate you as always. We will speak to you on Sunday after Watford. I don't know who's on yet. I'll work at that in the next couple of days. Thank you very much, Neil. Nice to see you again.
Thank you very much for having me on. You lovely bearded gentleman, you.
Ah, mon pleasure. And John, as we always say to Danny on the podcast, you almost have to be here now. So cheers for your time as usual. Do check out the podcast. I think, from memory, it's Jason and Dom this week, I think. And Gimli's got a bit of a frog in his throat, so we're going to send Danny off to kiss him and make him feel better. There's a thought for you, gentlemen. So that's been ABW Radio. Give us a follow if you haven't already, and listen in to the podcast on Thursday. And we will speak to you after Watford on Sunday. Thank you very much for listening. We'll speak to you soon.
if you're smart. Never, never.